In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today is the celebration of the presentation of Jesus. It's also called the purification of Mary. A little fun fact in church history, this was a huge celebration for centuries in the Middle Ages. Christmas lasted way longer than 12 days all the way to today. It usually doesn't fall on a Sunday, but here we are. It's not well known today, and while it's an old celebration that goes back to biblical times, today's events, I think, call for some explanation, a little Bible study from Scripture. So here we go. In the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 13, the Lord says to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. Firstborn of humans, of animals." That's Exodus chapter 13, and if you're tracking with Scripture, that's right during the Passover, when Jesus, the promised Passover lamb, comes later. But first we have the Passover from slavery to new life and freedom, and the death of the firstborn of Egypt, and the consecration of the firstborn to God. Jesus, the firstborn of heaven to earth. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 12, it says this: "When the days of her purifying are completed," this is a mother, "whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb, a year old, a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for sin offering. He shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her." And it goes on to say in Leviticus chapter 12, if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for burnt offering, one for sin offering. The priest shall make atonement. Atonement, cleansing, forgiveness. That's the biblical background for today. According to the Old Testament, every firstborn male is to be consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. That went on for centuries from Exodus to the time of the temple and Jesus' birth. According to the law of Moses, the mother of the child is to offer a lamb as a sacrifice to God for forgiveness. And did you catch it? If they can't afford a lamb, because that was expensive back then, they can offer two pigeons as sacrifice to God. Following the law of Moses, the commands of God, Mary and Joseph go to the temple in Jerusalem. It's 30-some days, as the law requires, after the birth of the firstborn son, Jesus. Mary and Joseph are good, righteous parents. That's why we celebrate the events today. A little over a month since Christmas, the celebration of the presentation of Jesus, the purification of Mary the mother. Mary and Jesus, if you know it from our reading, right, they can't afford a lamb. They sacrifice two pigeons to the Lord. This means Mary and Joseph don't have much money. But we already knew that. There's no place for Jesus in the inn at Christmas. Pigeons. This is something, as New Yorkers, we know a little bit about. Pigeons. The rats of the sky. Pigeons. Pigeons. Pennies. Pigeons. Pennies. Mary and Joseph, that's all they have. Jesus is presented before the Lord in the temple with all they've got as law. It's what God requires. Mary and Joseph must buy pigeons. And you can think about that as others are offering lambs there. They're bringing the pigeons. You can imagine perhaps what people are saying in the temple. But it's what God requires. I was recently working with students on writing devotions. One pair of students presented a devotion on the Christmas story just recently. The devotion was on the Christmas story, but it was after Christmas, and the devotion started to be all about taxes, law. It got me thinking about Christmas a little outside of Christmas. Do you remember these details from that first Christmas, Luke chapter 2? In those days, a decree went out of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed, each to his own home almost go. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. He's from the house of David to be registered with Mary, to be taxed with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Joseph and a very pregnant Mary were forced to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem as law. The Christmas story starts as law, what the government requires. Now look, it says in Romans chapter 13, if anyone's getting any ideas here, that this might not apply to us. We are to pay our taxes. Usually I hear the events of Luke chapter 2, that first Christmas story, as Christmas. You know, we got the Christmas cookies, the Christmas decorations, Christmas festive and happy. When I heard it again recently, I heard it at the start of tax season, at the start of preparing your taxes. Christmas time, bills to pay from the holiday. It's tax season. It's not Christmas season. Taxes are about the law, following the law, paying taxes. It's all law talk. And it struck me that so much of that first Christmas and the events after, in listening to that devotion again, were all about taxes and requirements and sacrifices to the government, to the Lord, in Bethlehem, in the temple in Jerusalem. A little later in Luke chapter 2, the same chapter, for poor parents like Mary and Joseph who are just trying to get by, trying to do the right thing, travel from their home in Nazareth to Bethlehem, bills to pay for taxes, for Jerusalem, for dedication. Jerusalem is not close to Nazareth. So many miles and payments to make, all about the law. Well, for us, the Christmas season is over, right? Tax time here, time of reckoning, law time, payment time. Isn't that how the law works? The law just demands more and more. More sacrifice, more payment, more requirements. As Christians, we know deep down in our consciences, Romans 1 says it, we can't hide from it, a conscience, the law of the Lord written upon us. We have the law of the Lord, and then we've got it in the Ten Commandments even clearer. The will and law of God, which says, love God first, be totally dedicated, and then be totally dedicated to the person next to you, to the stranger out there, to your neighbor. The law demands this dedication of presenting ourselves completely to God and to others. There is no way out. Just work harder. That's what the law says. Just be better. Law talk. What's the next voice that often is there? Oh, you'll never make it. Oh, I've seen this before. The law says you can't even think about God for more than a minute. Just get it together. Law talk. Make a sacrifice to God, the law says. It will help, but you wonder whether that sacrifice was enough. Mary and Joseph only had pigeons. We may have even less. A law reality check. The law of God is never satisfied, always wanting more, always demanding more. It is relentless, relentless in perfection and demanding. That's where we find a really old guy in our reading today. He's there in the temple. It's probably easy to miss. In Jerusalem, his name is Simeon. He's a good man. He comes to the temple and he's waiting for consolation, it says. Consolation and the fulfilling of the law of God. Just think of how many times these old eyes of Simeon have seen young couples like Mary and Joseph travel to the temple in Jerusalem. A young couple dedicating to the Lord with all the stresses therein. Come all that way to offer a sacrifice to God with good intentions, and yet the struggle is real. To dedicate their children to God, all that dedication and law. Imagine what he sees as he somehow in the spirit is guided there in a fulfilling moment of his life. He takes up the child in his arms to do that custom of the law, and he does not see law. He sees salvation. He sees good news. He sees Jesus' dedication to you and to me. He says, Lord, let your servant go in peace. The law is fulfilled. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation, salvation from the law, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Jesus is presented first this way to an old and weary eyes of Simeon as the Savior of the world. Jesus for old and weary sinners. Jesus for the tired and teary. Jesus for the triers and the failures. Jesus for the mighty and the nobodies. Jesus is presented as Savior. Jesus, the one who keeps the law for you and for me. The celebration today is that Jesus is presented to God as the purification for sins. Jesus is our sacrifice in sin and in death. He gives his life for our life. Jesus is born and dies and rises to save us from that relentless law of God, which is holy and good, but which only God's Son can keep. And now we see the law differently, don't we, as Christians? We see the law from a perspective of grace, from a perspective of redemption, from a perspective of dedication to what Jesus has done for us as children of God, not as employees of God. Children born not of the flesh or of human will or the law, as it says in Scripture, but born again by the power of God. If you or me ever feel like an employee with God, there may be something wrong. We're children of God. We're not employees. God is our heavenly and loving Father. We inherit eternal life. We always have a home with Jesus. We have the forgiveness of sins, life, salvation. We are children of God. God loves us, his children, as children. We always have a home with God in life and in death. Jesus is now with us always. And sure, we still live in a world of laws and of regulations. Those are certainly true. But we live in Christ, who keeps the law, who keeps those requirements for us. We follow Christ by living as his good children, keeping the laws of God by his grace, by his strength, as best we are able with his power. And this means that we live and approach the laws of God, not as employees in policy, right? But as opportunities, not to save ourselves, but as opportunities to point to Jesus Christ. We love our families because Jesus loves us. We love the stranger because Jesus was a stranger who was loved by others, who loves us. We love because he first loved us. We love as children of God with his love and guidance. We follow and keep God's law for Jesus' sake as we are able to witness to Jesus as the law keeper, our Savior and strength. We are children of God, heirs of eternal life in Jesus the Son. It's one thing to approach tax season with a little humility and peace in Jesus, sure. But it's another thing to live each day with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers, by doing what is right for Jesus' sake. To keep God's law, to love God and love one another, to do what is right for God and for others, to point always to the right one. The right one who makes us righteous. To do what is right for God and for others, pointing to Jesus. That's what we celebrate, the presentation of Jesus. For us, the presentation of Jesus through us. Amen.